Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Riverbank Park. I'm Scott. I almost said pack, which would have just been fine because we're in Maine, right? We can say pack if we want to. We're going to have a word of prayer, and our music team is going to head up, and then we're going to worship together. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to share what some of us experienced as a team going again to Guatemala. We hadn't been to our school in 6 years with the COVID thing messing everything up. And Lord, the things that you have done through that partnership that you established back in 2016, they're humbling, Lord. When we will trust in you, when we won't be afraid to ask big things, Lord, time after time, you come through. I thank you for all you teach us every time we go to Guatemala and work with our family there. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you guys know the old Phil Donahue show? Yeah. We're going to kind of do that. Oh boy. All right, so Guatemala team, if you went to Guatemala, come on up with your chair. We're going to have a line across here. So it's going to be the Phil Donahue show. I'll just put one mic over there, one mic over on this side. And I want to tell you, before we start off, this was our third trip back, I think. Yeah, our third trip back. I've been like five times, I think, because sometimes I go in December. But I just wanted to say, why do we do this? When you go, some of the other churches you go to, they have a missionary wall, right? And they have 40 missionaries on that wall. And you go, wow, look at all the missions we support. Well, every church I've been in, it's like they send this person $100. They send this person $75. They send this person a little bit. And it's a lot of people who get a lot of little checks. And so our approach is kind of is very different. We have one mission partner for now, AMG, and Advancing the Missions Ministries of the Gospel. And we want to invest significantly in that. Our church body and friends of our church body, we actually support almost 40 children every month. 40 children sponsored from our little congregation. And that sponsorship provides them with nutrition, some educational support, health, healthcare assistance if they need it, things like that. So it makes a huge difference. As one of my favorite pictures that I took on this last trip, our girl Damaris was hugging Robin goodbye. And you can see she looks at the camera, I'll post it again, and there's a tear on her cheek. And it means so much. We've had her since she was six, and now she's on the cusp of being a teenager. So it matters. It really matters. I've had people ask, why don't you just send the money? It's a waste for all of you to go. You're spending $20,000 to send a whole team. Why don't you send the money? Would that happen? Would we send 20,000? No, we wouldn't. I mean, it's a non sequitur. People ask that question, but when we have the opportunity to get involved, and all of these people paid their way to go and return and be there again, what has happened since then? I'll talk about that at the end if we have a little bit of time, or it might come up as we share. So we have a few people who are going to share today that are designated sharers. And then we're all up here because other things will come to mind, okay? So we're gonna start off with Josh here.
All right, surprise. I got notes and everything. So just kind of telling my story with this and a little bit of my lovely wife here. This is our first time doing anything like this. Like, you know, we've just started coming to church here and coming to church in general in the last couple of years. And never went. And we weren't supposed to go on this trip. It came up this winter. Hey, we're going to Guatemala again. Who wants to go? And we couldn't. We're going to her sister's wedding in Ireland that weekend. And then, lo and behold, the wedding didn't happen. And so in the spring, Scott said, all right, last call. We have two more slots open to go to Guatemala. I know some of you, you know, have little kids you can't go, or you have stuff going on, or you're going to be in Ireland. And we looked at each other like, well, we're not going to be in Ireland.
Nope.
Are we supposed to go to Guatemala?
Yeah.
I think we're supposed to go on this mission.
Yeah.
We had cleared our schedules. So there we were, and on this trip, the Bible verse for this mission was Joshua 1:9. The point being, God is always with you. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And that was the main point. Our dear friend Scott hammered home the whole time is that the Lord is always with you. And that's the message that we were trying to bring to Guatemala. We learned that God was with us, I think. I prefer to think of it that way with our travel difficulties that we had. Anyone that was kind of following along with the trip, our prayer partners, etc., there was travel difficulty due to storms, and we were supposed to get to Guatemala that Saturday evening, but delay after delay after delay, and then finally we're on the plane, and it's late at night, and the pilot says, look, we don't have... You know, we had to make sure we have enough fuel in case there's an alternate airport, so we're waiting for fuel because we waited so long. Now it's storming in Guatemala. And then he got back on and said, look, fuel hasn't come. I've been flying all day. I'm not safe. I'm getting off the plane. Good luck to you guys. I don't know what the airline's going to do for you. So we ended up on the floor of the Miami airport that night. And, you know, we got off the plane. And we had been back and forth across Miami airport all day. I checked the steps on my watch, and I said, why do I only have 46 steps in? Oh, because it's tomorrow now. It's been a long day. But it occurred to me, you know, everyone was praying for us for safe travels and to travel safely. And I think that was the answer to the prayer, that if God felt the weather wasn't safe, we're on the floor of the Miami airport instead. God was indeed with us. So on this trip, again, my first time doing anything like this, God did teach me, like Scott just said. God taught us all some things, and he taught me a few things about his people in Guatemala. You know, I haven't visited another culture in that sense before. What good people these people are, the people of the school, the students, our partners down in that area. Even the, God, what was his name that drove the van for us? He said, you guys want some fruit?
Oh, yeah.
Was that the guy?
Mangoes.
Oh, Mango
Man.
Mango Man.
I don't know.
On the, like, 20-minute, half-hour drive between the hotel and the school, his house was on the way. He said, hey, you want to stop at my house? You guys want some mangoes? So we pull over. He goes into his backyard and he climbs his mango tree. We're sitting there for 15 minutes with his cow on the side of the road. But what a good dude. He just thought we could use some mangoes. The teachers that were down there... at the school, it's an after-school school, and so their primary mission is they feed these kids what for a lot of them is their one good meal of the day. They make sure they're doing their school work and learning, and they teach them about Jesus. And of the, how many people are at the school? A dozen or so? Or more, yeah. Five of them are paid anything. They're volunteers, and a lot of them, they're public school teachers in the morning, and then they go and they teach at this school. They do it for the love of God. And they do it for the love of the kids. Something that occurred to me while I was there about this school, which is, if you've seen any pictures or some of us have been there, it's certainly not fancy. A lot of it, most of it I'd say has roof over it, but not all of it. It's, you know, concrete walls. Some, a lot of it has floors, but not all of it. It reminded me of something that I say at work. I work at the Barron Center. I'm a nurse over there. And, you know, the Barron Center, it's, I think, a good place if you got to be in a nursing home, but it's not a fancy place. So I tell people there, look, we don't have crystal chandeliers or marble floors, but there's a lot of love here. And I really feel that way, that the caregivers I work with, they show these older folks a lot of love there. But at this school, the way these teachers cared for these kids, it was like that, but times a thousand in terms of not being fancy, but also the love that they give there. And and I realized, you know, the people I work with are giving, we're giving our love to these folks, but in this school they're giving their love, but also it's God's love that's going through them to these kids. I learned about myself and kind of my relationship with God. And again, I've just started coming to church the last couple of years. Didn't really have Jesus in my life at all for most of my life. And I was talking to Luis. His name is Luis, right? The security guard at the door.
Yep.
He keeps all the chuchos out, the stray dogs from getting into this school. We're stray people, I guess. And I was talking to him, and he said, hey, you've ever been down here before? And very minimal broken Spanish. I'm explaining kind of that story to him, that, no, I've never done anything like this. I don't go, never been to church the last couple of years. And I said, la mayor edad de mi vida, no tuve Jesucristo en mi vida, pero todos los años Jesús me tuvo. I said, all my life I didn't have Jesus. The whole time Jesus had me. Scott goes, did you just touch his butt?
This is what it was like spending a whole week together.
Yeah. Oh, here comes the water slide. And another thing I said to him in just a little bit of old high school Spanish was just falling out of me, like, si tenemos con Jesus, si tenemos un día, es un buen día. If we have a day with Jesus, it's a good day. So I learned about myself, and I learned a lot about God down there. And so,
you turn into the Scott.
We go there. Okay. We go to the school on Monday, and we get there, and we had a gathering with the staff of the school, and we gave them all the school supplies that we had collected in the big boxes, suitcases full, gifts that we had for the teachers. And then, like they did each day, they prepared a meal for us. So first they prepare a morning snack, and I guess this is what they do, but a meal at 10:30 in the morning. And then at noon, a full lunch. And they've got their kind of little kitchenette rooms there that they're preparing food for the kids, so they prepare for us, so they laid out this meal for us. And then the kids arrive after noon, and so I ended up in the first class, the 5 to 7-year-old class. And I said to the teacher, Miss Helen, what can I do to help? She was serving food for the kids, putting the kind of a meat soup into a bowl that each kid had brought from home and pouring a cup of water out of a big bucket. And when it comes to the foodborne illness that I think we all had, it occurred to me, she's pouring water out of this bucket for these kids that was filtered water, but it was going through the filter that we brought there, this 5-year filter that we brought 6 years ago. So I said, hey, let me pour this water for these kids. And so I did, and the kids are having a great time. And I get to one of the last kids, and this little tiny girl, she had a cup that I, you know, they all bring from home, but it was smaller than the rest of them. And so the water I was putting in there wouldn't actually fit. So I said, all right, again, in my kindergarten level Spanish, drink that, but then come back and get more. I don't want to shortchange you. It's hot out. It's important. You stay hydrated. And it, looking back, she was about this tall. Like, she had enough. She didn't need the extra. But then I kept thinking a lot about that. And, like, what was God trying to tell me about that? Like, there's a metaphor there. And it got me thinking about Psalm 23 all week, about the Lord prepared a table for us, and about the cup being overfilled. And, like, what does that mean? Like, there's, what's he trying to tell me about my cup being overfilled, but these children and the people in this place, and how God cares for all of us? We're there for a day or two, and we end up deciding, look, we didn't go down there planning to, I know, I'm wrapping it up. So we decide we're going to sponsor a child. I'm almost done. This is important. This is my message. We decide we're going to sponsor a child, and then we're at home middle of the week. She's sick. I end up getting an email from work. Oh, I guess I'm getting like a minimal cost of living increase. Are we supposed to sponsor two children? Sounds like we're supposed to sponsor two children. And so we end up deciding we wanted to sponsor a child that was a girl, because girls are so disadvantaged, and someone that didn't already have a sponsor in the home. And so we're looking at photographs of children, the first one. I said, all right, that's the one. And then the second child ended up deciding we're going to sponsor the little girl with a little cup. that was overfilled. I guess that's it. That's what I learned. I learned a lot about myself, a lot about the people. God taught me a lot about God. Amen.
Sweet. It's funny, when our team, putting it all together, we went through a training to see what our personality types are. And most everybody on this team is a golden retriever. Just quiet, go along with it. You know, it's about Sherry and me and Chris are the only, like, lions. Like, this is the way to do it. But when I said, I want some of you guys to share, we're like, ah! And I love it that it went that long. I love it. I mean it. No. No.
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic. I mean, the things you said, that whole thing contained. I love that the fact that just a couple of years ago, nope, none of this was in your life. And then I think you came here at first to hear Ella sing, maybe?
Yeah.
So it's Ella's fault. All right, Sherry. Oh.
Okay, I did not prepare notes, and I'm going to stay seated so that I maybe, I don't know, don't talk as long. It wasn't long, it was long. It was great, it was great. I don't know if I shared this last time when I spoke in front of the church, but one of my first times, thanks for turning me down, one of my first times at FBC, I heard Scott talking about going to Guatemala, and that having been my first mission trip back in high school, I went to Guatemala in high school, and that was really impactful for me. I heard him say that, and I looked at Seth, and I was like, I want to go. But I was probably 8 months pregnant with Liam, and... yeah, it wouldn't have worked out anyway. And FBC didn't end up going that year. And then the next year, he mentioned it again, we're going to Guatemala. And I was like, I want to go. And I had a newborn. So it wasn't going to work out again. And then this last time, they said, okay, we're actually going to Guatemala again. And I was like, nah. I don't know. I've got 3 young kids. It's probably just not going to work out. Like, that'd be great. It's not going to work. And then I think maybe Scott manipulated this last 2 positions, because I think he said the same thing to us. We have 2 more spots left. We need somebody who's good with computers and somebody who speaks Spanish. And I was like, all right, I guess maybe not. I don't know. We heard it as maybe we should go. So we looked at it and we were like, maybe one of us should go. And then my mother-in-law, Patty, who's sitting right here, she was like, you should both go. I'll take the kids. No problem. No problem. We'll figure it out. No matter that she had her other grandkids staying for 2 weeks prior to that, and then more family coming weeks after. So anyway, she and Steve made it happen, my parents-in-law. And so we were like, we kind of felt like we were praying for God to tell us whether we should go or not. And honestly, the answer that we kept getting was just like, if you want to go, go. And if you don't, don't. Like, it was kind of like, God was like, go if you want. and I feel like we were talking about it last night, we were both so blessed by being able to go. We really loved it. And we didn't have any necessarily aha moment, like, this is why we came. Like, this is, we were the key to this group. But it was like, we really were blessed by just by being there. And anyway, I'm getting off track, but it's just really special to be able to go back to Guatemala. I was a little bit nervous about going, not because of differences in living and creature comforts, as we call them. That part doesn't faze me, but I was nervous about going back because I didn't want to get disillusioned, because Guatemala was like on this huge pedestal as being my first service trip, being really amazing, a place where I became really close to God and kind of learned a lot about my identity. And I was a little bit nervous about going back and having that kind of crumble. It didn't. It lived up to the previous expectation. Guatemala is a really special place, and God does really awesome things when you are focused on serving. And I shared this last time that when you are going to serve, you end up being served. And when you go to teach, you end up learning. That rings out true. I was also nervous about going, you know, with a new group. We've been at this church for a few years now, but I also didn't want to get disillusioned with our group. I was like nervous that something might happen where we'd be like, that's the kicker, you know. That didn't happen at all. I was really proud of our whole group and really grateful to be part of it. Everybody just played to their strengths. I shared this a lot on the trip, but just seeing Deanna with her sponsor child was just so impactful for me. Just Deanna being herself and Daya just loving it. Daya is the sponsor child, and she just she loves her so much. Well, that goes both ways. They both love each other so much. And, you know, each person just being themselves, doing what they do best, just being themselves really makes a difference. And it just felt like hanging out with family, friends, honestly. Like, from the moment that we arrived and walked into the school, it felt like I was meeting my good friend's family. So it's like I was meeting them for the first time, but embraced like we are family already. And that's, I think, what it is. Like, we're all family in the body of Christ. So it was really nice to be able to serve together and just really live together, I guess, for the week and a half. another piece, when I mentioned that I went to Guatemala when I was 16, and I connected with a lot of kids at that school. It was a different group, different organization. I went with my Spanish class. One of the girls there I really made a connection with, and we stayed in touch. I ended up sponsoring her through the rest of her education. And we've stayed in touch on Facebook here and there and stuff, but at the end of our trip, I was able to reach out to her and meet up with her again and meet her little kids and just eat lunch together and play with the kids for a little bit, and that was really special. And I know Scott talks about how everything, the money disappears, the construction falls apart, like everything material won't last, but those relationships and those connections do last. And they span through different life stages, and just, I think that's the point of us going, is making those relationships, and hopefully we'll be able to stay in touch with our sponsor kids, and I don't know if Seth wants to talk more about the sponsor kids that we met, or I'm putting him on the spot, because I want him to share. Is that okay?
Only if he wants to.
I don't want to say too much, I'll just be brief, but just the story of, like, how we got our sponsor kids. Sherry was kind of duped into doing all of the home visits because she speaks the best Spanish out of the group, so Scott decided that she was our unofficial interpreter the whole week.
Not duped, I liked it.
But the first day I was healthy and could have gone on a home visit, but was painting the school instead. Second day I got super sick and missed that home visit and then the next one. So basically I missed all of them, but luckily Sherry was on all of them, and she ended up connecting with a little girl who we didn't think needed a sponsor because she was related to, like, the secretary, I guess, of the school. But apparently she needed a sponsor just as much as anyone else, so we were like, oh, that's great. And they ended up connecting really well, and then she came back to the hotel, told me about it, and, like, how cute she was and, you know, all of that. And we found out, I think we had decided when we found out that she needed a sponsor, like, oh, that's who we want. We went back the next day and found out that she had been telling her grandmother, who is the secretary, like, oh, I'm making this craft for my sponsor, like my godmother is what they call them. And she had no idea that we wanted to be her sponsor or anything. She had just kind of decided that Sherry was her godmother. When we heard that, we were like, oh, you know, that's perfect, because we actually do want to sponsor her. And they all just started crying. And
They shared that after we made it official. They were like, she's been calling you her madrina all night, and we have just been encouraging her to pray about it instead. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we wanted to sponsor another, and we were kind of between two boys, but one we were, like, leaning pretty heavily toward, because he and Sherry also connected the night before or something at the church, and but we didn't know which of the two boys would, like, benefit the most, like, who kind of, like, needed it the most. And we talked to the pastor / like principal of the school, director of the school. We're like, who we want to, you know, give the sponsorship to whoever, like, needs it the most. And we thought that there was no chance that he was going to need it more than this other boy, but he ended up saying, like, no, actually David would benefit better, you know, from the sponsorship. So I think you should go, you know, should give it to him. So that was sort of like another kind of, like, answer to prayer or something. Yeah, so we've been sponsoring them, been in touch with them, and the big thing for me, I know, and Sherry agreed last night, like, we just can't wait to go back and see them at some point, you know, a couple of years from now, and see how they've grown and all that. So, yeah.
April 2026, start saving your pennies. All right, and I gotta explain the two spots open thing. There were two spots open when you guys came, and there were two spots open when you guys came, because Chris and Victoria had to drop out, Chris getting a small surgery and stuff like that. So that was a sudden, like, oh, okay, we have another two spots open. So yeah. That's how it happened. All right, Deanna.
Hi, everyone. So this was my third time going down I wasn't expecting to sponsor another kid, but I ended up sponsoring my girl's brother, Angel. Because I had to stop sponsoring my Uganda kid, Peter, because he was an adult. But what I learned this trip was be open with everyone, try to talk more, because you all know I'm pretty much quiet and shy when I meet new people. But once I get to know you, I'm talkative.
That's true.
So, and I meet friends with Seth, Sherry, Josh, and Angel, and I'm grateful. And having the time with Mom and Dad meant a lot to me. And I love going down to Guatemala. I look forward to it like I do Just Camp. And meeting those kids. Oh yeah, they are rowdy. But they're cute. And there's so many stray animals like dogs, cats, chickens, horses, cows. Oh yeah, thank you for telling about the mango guy. So, Chris and I, not this Chris, because he went with us, we got licked by a cow.
Yeah, a cow. You have to understand that Mango Guy says, want to come to my house. I rule with a strong fist. I said, no. So we went to his house. Then there's this cow just tied out by the side of the road. These yahoos, I want to go out and pet the cow. To which I said, no. And then we took pictures of them petting the cow. So, yeah. And getting licked by this cow. They're wondering about foodborne illnesses. I'm thinking cow illness.
So you have a
mad cow.
If you ever got licked by a cow, it's not, the tongue's not soft. It's not like a cat's tongue or a dog's tongue. It's like sandpaper. And that's all.
All right, that's all. That's all. All right. Angel.
Hi, everyone. So I just have a short message about my experience. So leading up to going, I think I heard the words a lot, life-changing, culture shock. And I definitely, I understand why people said that, but I don't think you fully can appreciate what it's like unless you go, good and bad. I think for me, what I took from it was more like when I got back. I don't feel like I had a lot of culture shock. I mean, I guess I just was so caught up in the moment of the love. You're just completely immersed in this, like, it's nothing like I've ever experienced before. The kids are amazing. I was so caught up in it. I think I just didn't really pay attention to a lot of that, the other stuff. It was an experience. There were definitely some moments. It was unforgettable, except for a few moments I really wish to forget, where I was very sick for 2 days, where I probably would have told you at that moment, I will never be back. I was paranoid of eating anything, drinking anything. And then I met my sponsor girl. And this is where I'm gonna cry. I can't wait to go back. It changed my life.
Did she pick you or did you pick her? Oh, Josh Richter. Picked her.
We have two. We have two. And the other one was very quiet and shy. She was very reserved. She just wanted to play soccer with her friends. She didn't care about Madrina. The other one, Godmother Madrina, was everything to her. And I talk to her every day. She's beautiful, and they're just so kind. But I'm sorry, I'm so emotional. I've been emotional since the beginning. I just told you, Scott, I would cry.
That's okay. I know a pastor cries a lot.
So I think that for me, one of the things that I noticed is, like, the whole culture shock thing, like, the way they live, it wasn't, what I took away, it wasn't so much about the way they lived, but the way they lived. They just lived, like, for God, and they didn't care that they didn't have enough food, and they just were happy, and they'd give you anything, even if it was their last little crumb. Like, they just, you could see how much they loved others and how much they appreciated the little bit that they had, and there's a lot to be said about that, and I think about that every day. And I had a verse to read, but I'm not going to read it because there's no way I can get through it. But it's Matthew 25, 35 through 40, and maybe I can.
You can.
For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink.
I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the best of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
And it just speaks to me. And I can't wait to go back. And I'm counting all of my pennies and in buying sale items just so I can go back. And I can't imagine what it's going to feel like going back. Like, I am going to be overcome with emotion. I cannot wait to hug these girls and just see their smiling faces. And I dream about the day. It's something I just really look forward to. And I thank God for allowing us to be there and be part of the group. It was an amazing experience, an amazing team, and I'll never forget it.
So our comfort zone, you've heard from a few team members, you know, of the comfort zone thing. Yikes. I'm nervous about this. I'm nervous about that. How will this work? How will that work? And then when you get there, that verse you just shared was Jesus said, "This is how you love me, is how you love the least of these." And so when they loved us that way, they're loving us, showing Jesus they love him. And so we're doing the same thing back. Do we have one more down at the end here? Greg?
Yes, I know we don't have much time, but if you can listen fast, I can talk fast. Several weeks before we went, Scott gave us all a book entitled Helping Without Hurting. It's a book, obviously, on short-term missions. And it was very helpful to me as one of the rookies in the group. What I took from it, the core purpose it indicated was we were to learn, to fellowship, and to encourage. That was a big help to me. We learned a lot, we certainly fellowshiped a lot, and we encouraged both ways. We encouraged them, and they certainly encouraged us. As I'm not a world traveler, I did have some light consternation, you might say, about going 2,500 miles away. I traveled some in my younger days, but haven't been very far in the last 30 or 40 years. So I didn't know what to expect. I knew there'd be some differences, and that was true. I knew there would be, obviously, the language barrier, the culture, the norms, the currency is a challenge when you're trying to spend money. You have no idea what you're buying, what you're paying for. One of their norms that really bugged me was at dinner time at the restaurant when I ordered my meal. The dessert and the entree come exactly at the same time. I'm not going to let it go. I had a lovely entree in front of me and right next to me in this fairly warm restaurant, a nice big bowl of ice cream. It bugged me.
First world problems.
Exactly. And he also, my ice cream wouldn't be soup. But anyways, this troop helped to confirm two ideas that have long held to be valid. And one is that kids are the same the world over. And these angels we have out here at Kids Time are very similar to the ones we met in Oratorio. They elicit joy just by being in their presence. They bring you joy and happiness. They're laughing most of the time. They're hugging a lot. They can't walk. They have to run. If they're going somewhere, they have to run. And that's what my experience is, especially with my 8 grand angels. So the kids, I'm sure, the world over, are pretty much the same as what we have right here in Westbrook, Maine. The other truth it confirmed for me was that Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," and that's a true statement here and everywhere. God's truth and God's love is universal, and it was so evident to me to see these young kids who live with so little in our material world and have so much, and it was absolutely amazing to watch that, to be in that their presence as they're giving to us more than we could ever give to them. And the reason is they have God in their lives, and we're 2,500 miles from here, but apart from the truth of Jesus, the Bible, the truth of God is just universal, and they experience it just as you and I do. And it got more and more evident to me of God's love since I came back. Truly, truly a massive, massive undertaking. They bless me to no end because they have God's love, and I need to have more of it and express more of it.
Amen. So our music team, oh, Phil.
Sorry, Scott.
All right, I'm gonna get fired.
It's all right. I just wanted to say very quickly, many of you don't recognize me because I'm a friend of your church, but I wanted to echo what Scott said, is that what you have here with this ministry is very notable. I mean, it's going to this place and developing these relationships. I mean, just I'm another voice that says you, those people just see you as family. Sherry mentioned that. And you, when we're there, we're treated as family. So they see each and every one of you as family. So when you're supporting this team financially, through prayer, that you're really supporting your family. And the last thing I want to say is, hopefully I'll get through this, because I'm a crier like my friend and your pastor, Scott, and Josh as well. But Wednesday was quite a day. And Scott, I know he was asked to preach at the church plant that you folks have helped establish. And I know it was off and on, and he was like, "I prepared this message," and it's like, "I don't think we're going to get there. It's raining." So eventually, after a long day working with 200 rowdy kids, as DJ says, we get in the van, and it's still raining, and we go down this rocky, awful road. And Scott is at the end, you know, he's running on fumes. And most of us are running on fumes. And I remember, "Hey, Scott, can I pray for you?" And like, "Yeah." So we're praying for him. And he delivered an amazing sermon. Many of the folks down there struggle with, as sometimes we do, kind of rules, right? Legalism. You gotta obey the rules. And Scott's message was like spot on grace. And it was so admirable. You guys have got a special, special person right here. That's all I have. That's all I got.
Yeah, but now we've gone too long. Uh-oh. Get that mic away from the speaker. No, I just joke when I say, "Now I'm going to get fired." You're not going to get a more, if you're visiting with us, you're not going to get a more chill group of people as far as schedules and stuff like that go. As a matter of fact, let's celebrate with our music team. Come on up and let's send us out. And I want you to just kind of be aware. You know, maybe you start praying now and put $100 a month away to be able to say in 2026, you're going to join us on our next time going down with our family that lives in Guatemala, our partners in ministry. Okay? So be thinking about it.
So you see people have these shirts on. Talk to them, especially the ones who didn't say anything. Ask them, talk to them, and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had to go, to grow, to learn. And like Sherry said, we go to serve, but we end up being served. We go to teach, and we end up being taught. And God, I just thank you so much for pushing us outside our comfort zone. And I thank you for our family that we have in Guatemala. In Philippians 1, Paul says, I thank my God always when I remember you and all my prayers for all of you because of your partnership in the gospel. He prays with joy. So God, thank you for that partnership. Lord, give us a good week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.